OKC is proud to present the fourth season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King students. We now present our 36th episode, The Baron Soundstage.
Hey, Ben, give me another.
You sure?
Do I look sure to you?
Okay, but it's going on your tab.
He poured me another drink. I put it down like a sick dog. Like a sick dog. Hey, Chuck.
Hmm?
I don't know about that one. Does that translate over radio?
I say,
does that gag translate well over radio?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, maybe it'll be like a delayed reaction chuckle, but still.
You're positive?
Oh, yeah. I think it'll play. Is that all?
Hmm.
All right. Anybody needs me, I'll be in my office. Excuse me.
Well, anyhow, it's been a week since the bombings. Well, at least I think it's been a week. I've had so much alcohol in and out of my system these past few days that after the second day of constant drunkenness, I just stopped caring. As it was, I was slumped over the bar, teetering on a bar stool, intently studying a tall glass of gin.
Hey, give me that back.
What? Oh, sorry, buddy. Here you go. Huh. Apparently, it wasn't my glass of gin. Oh well. I was keeping myself in this state of foolhardy intoxication to prevent all my emotions from welling up. Still, all the liquor in the world couldn't help me stop thinking of Marla and how she had been taken from me.
Here you go, Flynn. On the house.
Ben understood. He handed me a glass of scotch. I swirled it around a few times, trying not to think about the sight, the smell, the sound of her. She'd been a major part of my life. And now she's gone because some architect had to have a personal vendetta against a post office.
Glenn's. This is Ben. I am very aware they sound similar. And there is nothing that I could do about it. All right. Give me a minute.
Hey, Flynn!
The sonic force of his voice was enough to almost knock me off the balancing act that was my position on the bar stool. I sat upright, had a swaggering attention.
Phone.
Hello?
Flynn? We got a situation down at the DeMille Studios. We need your...
Hold on, Spinelli. Let me ask you something. Why do you keep calling me at here?
Well, Deborah pretty much forwarded this number to us as your go-to contact. Anyway, we need your help. Get here as soon as possible.
Never fear. Flynn is here. Oh, jeez. I will absolutely pay for all of that.
Actually, you sound pretty far gone, Flynn. You need a ride?
Let me ask an expert. Ben.
What?
Do I need a ride away from this place?
Well, considering that you spilled about 8 customers' drinks with the phone cord and almost assaulted that man to your left there in the course of your very short conversation, I would recommend it.
I did all that? Wow. Sorry, buddy.
Weirdo.
Maybe send a patrol car and have them bring me a beer mug full of coffee. Good night, sir.
Good night, Flynn.
Good night as well to you, stranger.
Yeah, don't talk to me.
Fair enough. There's a time for grieving, and a time to keep on going. Looks like it's time to keep going. Sure enough, within 5 minutes a squad car was at the bar to pick me up, with a piping hot boot of coffee in hand. On the ride over, I downed Das Coffee Boot, and within minutes I was clear-headed enough to do my job. The car pulled up to one of DeMille's many sound lot studios, and dropped me off at the door. I crept inside. From what I could tell, the set was done up like an old castle, from the stonework, right down to the spiderwebs emanating to the wrought iron chandeliers. A few candles flickered, but otherwise the studio was pitch black. They must have a pretty good budget, eh, Spinelli? Spinelli? Hello? Is anyone there?
Ah!
Now, I'm not usually a very frightenable man, but I had about 2¾ handles worth of liquor coursing around in me, plus the emotional devastation of losing someone I loved. Give me a pass on this one. I panicked and sprinted away from whatever the hell had just fallen behind me when suddenly, a 7-foot-tall man, made from what appeared to be clay, grabbed me. On instinct, I kicked out the clay monster's knees as hard as I could.
Cut! Cut, 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 cut!
Suddenly, and without warning, the lights came up. Spinelli, Sfamosa, and Rogers were over by the canvas chair of the director, who, judging by his face, was as livid as a man could be without the manner concerning another woman.
What have you done? I thought we would be able to shoot some seeds without him. Not all, but some. And now you show up, kick my other star in the legs, and ruin any chances of me finishing this film on time.
What are you talking about? The director pointed a crooked finger towards the area I was just in. I turned around and saw a team of on-site medical professionals helping a man out of a 7-foot-tall clay man costume. Boy, does my face feel red. And not on account of the booze.
Nice one, Flynn.
The clay man wasn't real?
Sorry, Harry, I didn't get to fill you in over the phone.
And just who in the hell is this?
My name is Flynn. I'm a private eye. What's going on here?
Oh, I'll tell you what's going on. A lawsuit is what's going on, you son of a—
Whoa there, buddy. Just calm down. All we have here is a breakdown in communications.
And Harvey's legs.
And Harvey's legs.
And Harvey's legs? Ah!
Before I knew what was happening, the director was on top of me, throwing a few punches. Spinelli leaped onto him to pry him off. Roger surveyed the scene as one would look at a small perch, or any other fish one would generally be disinterested in. Spinosa was under the impression that she was assisting in the grapple, but in reality, I only managed to grab the director's bullhorn and begin hitting it. Eventually, we separated.
Look, Mr. Yusik, this is all my fault. I take full responsibility. I didn't inform Mr. Flynn fully what was going on, let alone the fact that you were shooting.
Yeah, speaking of which, what is going on, dammit?
I hate you.
I'm sorry?
Nothing.
My lead actor is gone!
Gone? Gone how? Like, kidnapping gone? Dead gone? You gotta give me more to work with, sir.
Maybe they're gone with the wind?
I'll handle it, Mr. Yusik. Harry, are you familiar with the Das Vampir series of films?
Vaguely.
Well, you've just ruined a take for the latest film in the series. Das Vampire versus the Gollum!
Then you'll know who I mean when I say Eric Carisi, the man who plays Baron von Kahn?
Yes, I've heard of him.
Well, he's gone. No one's heard from him in about 4 days.
I see. Did you check his home for any clues?
Clean sweep 2 days ago. Nothing seemed too out of the ordinary. No signs of a struggle, nothing missing. His car was still in the garage.
So what do you think? Kidnapping? Something more sinister?
Don't know. That's why we called you in here today, Harry. Mr. Yusik is going to give us all a few minutes to cross-examine members of his cast. Aren't you, Mr. Yusik?
Well, I was. Now, well, due to my actor's bad legs and all...
Mr. Yusik, I don't know if you understand. This is for an ongoing police investigation.
All right. But one proviso.
Oh, yes, certainly.
Thank you. All right, everyone, that's dinner. I fully expect to see you here in 1 hour's time.
Hey, director, come with me.
Very well. After you, Commissioner. Officer. Crazy.
Who said that? It was you, wasn't it, Bullhorn?
Pipsqueak.
Flynn.
Don't care.
Harry, I'm gonna go interview the film's protagonist, see if he has any dirt. Why don't you go talk to Harvey Onori?
Who's Harvey Onori?
The man whose leggies you've just broken.
Oh, well, that Harvey Onori. Spinelli ambled away from the set. Rogers had long since left. Spinosa was now carrying on a full-blown conversation with the bullhorn. I walked over to Harvey, where, at this point, he was on a stretcher, knees wrapped, waiting to be taken to the emergency room. He eyed me with quiet contempt. Well, first off, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be. You've just probably ended my film career. It's completely fine.
Okay, picking up on that sarcasm. Look, let's just start from the top. Try not to get feelings involved in it, all right?
Okay.
How long have you known Carisi?
About 7 years, give or take.
Good. Now, how did you first get to know him?
Films.
Yeah, dumb question. You get along with him?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think. You know, it's sort of hard to gauge.
How do you mean?
Well, it's just that he's very reserved. I mean, extremely reserved. In between action and cut, the guy will completely embody a part, but until then, you don't get one word out of the guy.
Is he easy to work with otherwise?
From whose perspective?
Well, yours.
Well, Eric has always worked well with his fellow actors. We respect his art, and he respects ours.
Well, what about he and the director?
Not really. If he and Yusik disagree about something, the whole neighborhood knows it.
Well, all right. Thanks for the information. And may I say, you seem extremely coherent and undaunted by pain for someone who just had both his knees broken.
No. They pumped me so full of painkillers that it only hurts now when anybody touches it.
Well, you'll pull through. Be seeing you.
Oh, he touched it! Can't believe he touched it!
I was on my way to the main protagonist's trailer to tell Spinelli what I learned, when I was stopped short by a nice pair of legs that just so happened to be attached to a nice set of hips. Those hips just so happened to be attached to a nice waist, and on up through the chain of command to a nice face covered with nice, cascading auburn locks. She looked up at me with her big hazel eyes and said something to me I'll never forget.
Hey, Grandpa, move it. You're in my way.
She brushed past me like an artist in a hurry. Hey, Chuck.
It'll read. Just keep going.
Yes. Her heels clipped past me in almost a gallop. I saw she had a script in hand, so I figured she was a cast member. I caught up with her. Excuse me, miss?
What, Gramps?
I'm a detective looking into the disappearance of Eric Carisi, and I was wondering if you could shed some light on the subject.
Sure. Mind if I smoke?
Not at all. She lit up a cigarette. I braced for impact, but the smoke wasn't nearly as harsh as I had remembered. Must have been that chicken bone all these years. What's your name?
Tanya Trax.
Tanya Trax. Nice name. Good alliteration.
Used to be Fran. Fran Quenipogsawin.
Yikes. What?
I play Hannah, the plucky friend of the lead female who gets captured first by the golem and then by Eric. I mean, Baron von Kahn.
Eric, eh? Did you know Eric?
Biblically?
What?
Nothing. Yes, I knew Eric. We're a couple. Not on marrying terms, but any means, but we're pretty close. He's the reason I'm in this picture.
Oh, I get it. One of those setups.
Hey, you watch it, mister. I auditioned just like everyone else.
Was it really just like everyone else's? Or was your audition a little more comprehensive?
Oh, who the hell do you think you are anyway? You want me to answer your damn questions?
Yes.
Well, that's a hell of a way to treat a girl who's only trying to give some no good louse some information. If you want, I can just go up and...
All right, sorry. I was out of line. Now, did Eric have any enemies? People who would want him gone?
Not that I can think of. He was a very quiet man when he wasn't on set.
So I've been told. How was he to you?
To me? To me, he was grand. We'd yuck it up and have some laughs. Fun times were always had by all.
I'd bet. Is there anything you can think of that would help me out at all?
Well, maybe. I don't know how important this is, but about a week ago, I went back with him to his house after shooting was over to stay the night. When I woke up the next morning, I heard an odd noise. I went to check and see what it was, and there was Eric in the bathroom crying.
Crying?
Yeah, crying. You deaf?
Why? Why was he crying?
Hell if I know. He never told me. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Thanks. She stubbed out her now-dead cigarette and clopped off. I wandered around until I found Spinelli talking with the film's protagonist, a bronzed blonde that I was all too familiar with. Hello, Bradford Steele.
Do I know you?
Not anymore you don't, apparently. Spinelli, I've done my rounds and got my info, so I'm gonna get going. I'll see you.
Hold it, Flynn. You're not going anywhere.
What?
You remember that little add-on Yusik whispered to me?
Yeah, what about it?
Sometime later.
And... action.
Grr.
That's it, detective. Make me believe you're a golem. Now lunge at Tanya.
The thick foam rubber suit that Harvey wore for the golem was both making me sweat out all the residual alcohol in my body and giving me a chance to think. It didn't seem as though anyone would want Eric gone, and, as far as I could tell, he didn't have any sort of reason to leave. I was at a standstill, and there was nothing I could do but wait till the fog rolled back.
I don't hear any growling.
Good. We'll return for the exciting conclusion of the Baron Soundstage, but first, a word from our sponsor.
And now let's hear it for Carl Greenberg, Republican candidate for mayor.
Thank you. I'm going to cut right through all the pointless fluff like emotions, specifically jollity, and get down to brass tacks. If elected mayor, I promise you that, although you will most likely not see change right away, it will be coming on a slightly smaller than normal scale.
Now,
hold on. A lot of law-changing procedure is heavily wrapped up in the red tape of politics, folks. So, you know, don't expect any miracles. Oh, also, general side note, I will also probably raise the taxes. Just a heads up.
What?
No. No.
Taxes are always bad.
No.
He didn't do too well with all the pomp and circumstance of running for an elected office, did he? Well, you don't ever have to worry about a harrowing situation like that plaguing you ever again, now that there's the pocket politician.
Yes, from the good people at Heinrichsen, Bogdanovich, and Apolladinos comes the Pocket Politician, the handy little palm-sized book that helps you get out of thousands of political snags. Here to talk more about this fantastic product is the author of the book, Boss Garth.
Howdy, folks. I'm Boss Garth, in a state I'm legally permitted from naming.
Georgia!
I've lied, cheated, swindled, bridge-burnt both literally and figuratively, and bamboozled my way through the gamut of local politics, and I've decided to pass off my knowledge to you. The entirety of my book is a single page containing a handy-dandy three-point system that will turn anybody into a consummate professional politician. Step 1. If it will better your career, lie.
If elected, I will do my best to end pet illness and beat disease with my fists.
Woo! Yeah. I can get behind that guy.
I agree.
You see that? That didn't make a lick of sense. And on top of that, both those things have absolutely nothing to do with politicking. But still, people are eating it up. Number 2. If it makes you look good, take full responsibility. If not, someone else did it.
Let me say this. I am in no way responsible for my divorce due to infidelity. Unless that has good polling attached to it. It does. I am completely responsible for my divorce due to infidelity.
And finally, number 3. When in doubt, change the subject.
We need to prioritize the school's budget to stop frivolous spending.
Boo!
I hate you.
But enough about that. How about that ball game, huh?
I like sports more than politics.
For just 3 easy payments of a small Cornish game hen sacrificed to the vindictive god Thule Mata, you too can have the experience it takes years of backstabbing to commit in the palm of your hand. Remember Carl? Well, let's see how he fares with the Pocket Politician.
Thank you. Let me say that my last speech I blame entirely on my harebrained speechwriters. If elected, I will make sure that every child less than 7 years old in the community gets a lollipop, and then I will institute a 2-day work week with a 7-day pay. It'll be a sunny day for our town again, but not nearly as sunny as it was out yesterday.
Yeah!
Yeah, right.
Carl Greenberg,
what's
the mayor?
Last name?
The Pocket Politician. Call 1-800-BIG-GOV. That's 1-800-BIG-GOV.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
After putting in 3 hours of my time as a reanimated lump of sod on camera, I carried my sore and abused body back to my office. When I walked in, I witnessed something more shocking than anything I had yet to see that day, or for several months. My secretary, Deborah Sullivan, with whom I've worked for 6 years, was cleaning for no apparent reason. Deborah?
Oh, hello, Harry. How you doing?
Fine. What's with all the cleaning?
Oh, cleaning. Well, I figured it was something nice I could do for you.
Deborah, you feeling okay?
Oh, I'm fine, Harry. I'm fine.
If you say so.
How are you?
Peachy.
Good, that's good.
Deborah went on cleaning, a manic grin frozen on her face. I could tell she was trying to be sweet to me in the wake of Marla's demise, but few people could have gotten my mind off of her. There was only one woman I could even think of, and she was down in Philadelphia because of... Hey, hold on a minute. Who told you could throw out these newspapers?
I just thought that since you kind of kept them in the corner that you were never going to read them anymore.
Deborah, these are Carolyn's old articles. These have sentimental value to them, each and every one. I picked one of the crumpled and torn papers up to illustrate my point, and out tumbled an article entitled, Eric Carisi, Hollywood's Hot Honey of Horror. Clearly, somebody upstairs had their eye on me.
I'm watching you, Harry Flynn.
Deborah, remind me to get that hole in the ceiling filled in. I walked around to my desk, plopped down in my chair, and began reading. Apparently, Eric was born in 1895, in Germany. 1895. That would make him 44 by my count. And Tana called me Grandpa? Filthy louse of a woman.
What did you just say, Harry Flynn?
Oh, not you. Somebody else. Continue. Let's see. Raised in Germany, went to prep school. Aha! Here's something interesting.
What?
It says here that in his home country, he was a well-respected classically trained actor.
Who were you talking about?
Eric Carisi. He's gone missing.
Isn't he the guy who plays Baron von Kahn in the...
Yes.
Oh. You say he was a classically trained actor.
That's what the article says.
Then why haven't I ever seen him in anything else?
What do you mean?
Well, it's not that this guy, Kyrgyzstan, isn't good. It's just that the one movie is all I can ever remember seeing him in. It's like that's all he can get over here.
I was going to respond when it dawned on me. The disappearance, no sign of struggle, no attempt to let anyone know. It all added up. But before, he didn't have a motive. And now he did. I picked up some loose leaf paper, jotted a few things down, and bolted out the door, heading for the police station.
You're welcome!
Spinelli! 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 Ah, there you are.
Flynn, what's wrong?
I just cracked the case.
Wow, really? It's been about 2 hours since I saw you last. Impressive.
Listen, before Carisi came to this country, he was a renowned classical actor. As soon as he gets here, he lands that vampire job and is stuck in it for life.
So? What are you saying? Isn't steady work good?
Well, for you and me, but probably not for a guy like Carisi. He wants to branch out more, get into more serious roles, and they've permanently stuck him with this. He wanted out because he was miserable.
Well, how do you know he was miserable? I mean, for that matter, how do you know he was anything? From what I got, he seemed awfully quiet and aloof.
He was. But I was able to talk to his main squeeze, and she said that, last week, she heard him crying. She never learned why he was crying, but my money's on the fact that he wanted to leave the vampire business behind and pursue more thought-provoking roles again. So, he up and left.
Well, where'd he go?
I'm not sure, but I thought about it on the ride up. He didn't want anyone to know where he was going, correct?
Theoretically, yes.
And he didn't take his car, so he'd have to be using some other mode of transportation. So where would you buy a ticket for a boat or plane, to sail or fly somewhere, but not have people know about it?
I'm drawing a blank, Harry. It's been a long day.
The black market. Come with me, I've got a guy. Spinelli and I headed over to a place I'd become all too familiar with these past several weeks. I had almost gotten to the point where I didn't mind the smell when I walked in. Almost.
Hello, Harry. Who is this fine officer of the law you are bringing with you to hopefully not sell me out?
Relax, Murray. He's with me. We're on a little recon mission. Do you know anyone who deals in black market boat or plane tickets?
Certainly, Harry. But first, may I offer your friend a cent?
You know what, Murray? I'm getting pretty tired of the whole... Would you like to buy a scented candle thing every time we come in here? Can we just have the information?
Very well, but I will have you know you have hurt my feelings.
A few phone calls later, and we had it. A man fitting Carisi's description was sold a spot on the cruise liner to Prince Edward Island as a stowaway. Spinelli and I purchased tickets on the same boat the next time it was in port. I don't know why we just didn't fly there. It would have been quicker.
So what brings you folks to the islands?
I don't think these people are the conversational types, Travis.
Why, because they're shy?
No, because they all clearly can't speak English. Case in point. Hey, buddy. Buddy. Monsieur?
What?
There you go.
Oh, yeah, right. I'll be quiet now. Sorry!
Several dozen hours and awkward non-exchanges with other stowaways later, we were at Prince Edward Island.
Well, we're here. Now what? You expect him to fall right into our lap, or do you know where he is?
Tell you the truth, I hadn't thought it that far out.
Boy, Harry, that is a pretty gross oversight.
Tell me about it.
Excuse me.
And, just like that, Carisi had fallen right into our laps. He was a tall, gaunt fellow with waxy skin, pale brown eyes, and platinum blonde hair. The juxtaposition of features was jarring in person, but entrancing on screen.
I'm sorry. I have to go.
Hold it. You're not going anywhere before you answer some questions, Eric.
How do you know how I am?
Name's Flynn. I'm a private eye who has been hired to track you down. This is my companion for the journey, Officer Spinelli.
Hello. Big fan, sir.
Thank you.
Could I have your autograph?
Spinelli, this is no time for that. Come on, grab your things. We're going back.
No, I will never go back to that verdammt country. They took me, made me into a monster, and won't let me do what I truly love. To hell with America. I'm starting over in Canada.
Why didn't you tell anybody where you were going?
I didn't even know it was happening until it did. I got up one morning, had someone from the studio pick me up, and... On one of my lunch breaks, I just decided that after today, I'm leaving.
What about Tanya? She seemed pretty sweet on you. Why didn't you tell her?
She's a nice girl, but it was a fling. Besides, she doesn't need me. Her audition for Das Vampire versus the Golem was good enough to get her in on her own merit.
Huh. This is an odd situation.
I admit it is. Now, other than the black market tickets, is anything he did illegal?
Illegal? No. Not that I can think of. Did you already immigrate to this country officially?
No, but I have all my paperwork with me. I planned on doing it when I reached mainland Canada.
Well, then I don't see any reason to bring you back with us. There's just one last question I have to ask.
And what is that?
Why, Canada.
Why, not?
Fair enough. Travis, let's get the next Clipper ship home. It felt a little odd going through all that work just to leave him there, but I can relate. Sometimes you just want to get away from it all. Have a second chance at everything, figuratively or literally. Carisi was just in a great place to do both. I don't know what Yisik will do when we tell him. At least I know it can't be anywhere near as bad as what he made me do.
And... action! Give all of your love to me. I, the Baron von Kahn Hiss-Hiss.
I'll save you, my darling. Everyone knows the Baron can't stand this.
Ah, Gouda! My one true weakness! Oh, noes!
No, 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 no. It needs more life, Travis. More life. From the top.
Looks like I was wrong.
This week's episode, The Baron Soundstage, was written by Lucas Tomasacci. Our cast today was Brandy George as Officer Spimosa, Tanya Trax, Politician No. 3, and Deborah. Christopher Gatpo as Ben, Commissioner Rogers, Politician No. 1, and Eric Carisi. DJ Nat as Harry Flynn and Carl Greenberg. Drake Nestor as Director Yisik, Harvey Onori, Bradford Steele, and Commercial Announcer. And Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Writer, Officer Spinelli, MC, Boss Garth, and Murray. Special guest star Samuel Groom as bar patron, random person, politician number 2, creepy stalker, and Frenchman. Theme for The Adventures of Harry Flynn composed by Michael Wall and David Tomasacci, as performed by Michael Wall on piano, drums, and trumpet, Terrence Karn on accordion, and Luis Obergon on viola, with sound engineering by Michael Wall. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Log on to www.harryflynn.wikia.com or find us on Facebook for all of your Harry Flynn-related needs, including MP3s of previous episodes.